Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to episode 273 of Five and Dive. It is Monday, March 27th. I'm your host, Craig Goldstein, editor-in-chief of Baseball Prospectus. Join me as my co-host on this NL West preview is Jeffrey Paternostro, lead prospect writer for Baseball Prospectus. Jeffrey, how are you doing today?
I have slightly fewer call-ups to write than I expected, so that's good.
At least one. Yeah, the news of the morning, I wouldn't say just broke before we recorded this. It was the morning. We are recording this, well, at least on the Eastern time in the early afternoon, is that the Baltimore Orioles will not be be bringing Grayson Rodriguez with them when they break camp, which is, you know, call me naive, Jeff. I really thought they were going to.
I mean, they kind of said that all off season and spring. And I know he wasn't like great in spring training. You know, he pitched to a 7 ERA, which, you know, for a guy ostensibly not guaranteed a position, although sounded like he was guaranteed a position. It's not great. 19 strikeouts in 15 innings. I don't know how you want to balance
he
this.
He gave up like 10 or 11 earned runs over his last 10 or 11 innings. Sure. But most of that came in two individual innings. I mean, I wrote a thread about this on Twitter a little bit. And I think there's kind of a knee-jerk reaction that someone might have. I didn't even see someone specifically have this. Would say like, we should never make these decisions based off spring training innings. Like, it's just spring training. Like, either guys are ramping up, guys aren't there, especially this one. Like, it was a weird one with the WBC, yada, yada, yada. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think end of roster decisions, more marginal guys. Yeah. You know, look, we'll talk about it on this preview, but, you know, James Outman made the Dodgers. He was the best performer of the group of outfielders that they had in the mix. I think it's fine for him to make the Dodgers and even be the probable starter in center field, at least in a platoon role, based on his spring training. That's fine. You're looking at, look, he probably should anyway, but if you want to make it a quote unquote meritocracy, that's fine.
Yeah.
Grayson Rodriguez is one of the two tent poles around which you're basing the future of your franchise.
Yeah.
And I do not think that, what did you say? 15 spring innings?
Yeah.
Should make an iota of difference in what your plan is for him heading into the season. Your opening day starter is Kyle Gibson. And on top of that, the alternative is Kyle Wells.
Okay, you just conflated Kyle Bradish and Tyler Wells, which is perfect, really.
I've been conflating a lot of names on these podcasts recently, and I apologize. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it works. That is your alternative.
Tyler Wells. But regardless, like, the other part of this to me is that Grayson Rodriguez is the only pitcher in that rotation that has, like, true top-of-the-rotation upside.
Sure.
If you want to like Dean Kremer more than I do, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you want to like Cole Irvin because Baltimore, with their left field situation, is actually more similar to the Coliseum than like any other park and is a good fit for Irvin.
Cool.
He'll have
a 3.8 ERA again. Great.
Like, fine. Like, that's all fine.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about like who's going to start game one of a playoff series,
right?
None of these guys should be the answer other than Grayson Rodriguez in terms of the ability to shut down a lineup.
Yep. And I would just say that, like, Jarrett and I made this point about Brett Beatty, but it also applies even probably more so to Grayson Rodriguez. The Yankees and the Cardinals found places for their top prospects, even at the expense of, like, look, the Walker promotion is going to come at the expense of, I think, a few different players playing time, but guys that are certainly more established major leaguers than Kyle Bradish and Tyler Wells. And Kyle Bradish can just pitch in the bullpen, where he's probably better suited for anyway.
I just think I don't know. I mean, the easy answer is to say, like, the Orioles aren't really trying. Like, I wanted to put in the thread, like, for a team that is ostensibly trying, but you can't even say that. They didn't do anything.
Again, their opening day starter is Kyle Gibson. Like, yeah.
Oh, they, like, also signed Adam Frazier, let's be fair.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to say, like, they're even within their own.
Right. So this is just the, I mean, like, he's going to be up in 3 weeks, right, is what's going to happen.
Is he? What are they saving? So. This happened to them last year with
Rutschman.
Rutschman. They lost the year.
No, I know. Yeah, it's just been a, hopefully we won't get a John Angelo statement on this, but he's been talking all offseason, so why wouldn't we?
Well, he's been talking about their prospects, which I guess Grayson gets to remain one.
Yeah.
But I guess to me, I just think there's a difference between end of roster spots or, I think this, someone pointed this out, that the new rules, and again, the Orioles were burned by this with Rutschman, incentivized teams not to do this. But I think the incentive was kind of always there anyway, which is, you look at the Jared Kelnick situation.
You can always opt him if he continues to pitch to a 7 ERA in the majors.
If he pitches to a 7 ERA like he did in spring training, you send him down and no one bitches at you about it.
There's nobody,
honest try.
There's no out of option situation here. Tyler Wells and Kyle Bradish were going to be on this pitching staff regardless. It's just a role shift. But you can keep Tyler Wells stretched out in long relief. And if Rodriguez struggles, like, there's DL Hall's not stretched out either. Like, I did not get these guys stretched
and
out.
Optioned,
like,
by the way.
Optioned, yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. The Orioles are, you hire an Astros tree GM. This is sometimes what you get. GM.
Yeah. Are the Astros even doing this? Would the Astros do this?
They don't really do it anymore. At least as much.
I know it's the new rules, but they carried Pena straight out.
Yeah, carried Hunter Brown. I know he was up at the end of last year. And then they might carry Justin Durden, who again is not like...
not this level of prospect, but...
yeah.
But again, I think with this level of prospect, this is exactly the guy you don't do this with.
Yeah.
Like, this is... again, like, if he comes up and
it will be hilarious if he finishes second in the Rookie of the Year voting to, like... I don't know who he'd finish second to in the AL. He might just...
Gunnar Henderson.
Oh, literally Gunnar Henderson, yeah. I forgot Gunnar Henderson is still prospect eligible. He was number one on our list, so...
yeah, he was.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there are a number of... I mean, Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah.
I don't know. Too, yeah. By the way, I don't know if he's eligible.
I don't think the MPB players are.
only BA ranks... No, they do
I think foreign professionals are not eligible for the draft pick, period, even outside of the...
Okay, but is he eligible for the award?
Yes, he is considered rookie eligible, but if he wins the award, you don't get a draft pick as a foreign professional. It has to be a...
But do the next two, or is it just the
I
next
don't,
one?
That I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, like, there are some interesting AL... I mean, we've talked about... we're going off on AL East and NL West preview, but, like, Ricky Tiedemann, if the Jays wanted to get aggressive and bring him up and he,
It's like what you say Kikuchi and Jose Berrios still looks like he's a mess.
You know, that wouldn't shock me. I just don't really, the last part of my kind of thread on this, by the way, was like, if you're so concerned that, like, if he comes up and posts a 7 ERA over the course of a month, that's going to derail him.
Right.
As in terms of development, like, you're kind of in deeper shit than you're willing to admit anyway. Like, if they're that fragile,
right?
Aren't they're supposed to be able to? These guys are supposed to be able to handle adversity.
Yeah.
A lot of teams like them to get roughed up a little bit to see how they respond.
But that if was you're the gonna, whole thing. It was gonna... all of Ali Marmol's speech to Jordan Walker on the hidden cam or whatever it was.
He liked how he responded to not having
I think they
success.
Probably liked the 440 foot home runs more, but yeah, he was hitting.
sure. But by the way, Anthony Volpe probably
fair enough.
The other rookie of the year candidate.
Fair enough. Yeah,
it's all in the AL East, I guess. I think I don't know. This whole thing, part of me wants to say I don't get what the Orioles are doing.
You kind of do, though.
I do when I just
that's the problem,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of teams that you get and also hate, let's get right to the NL West preview.
Yeah, this is a love-hate relationship. Yes. So we'll start with the projected first-place team from Pecota, the Los Angeles Dodgers, arguably a contentious projection.
Sure.
It's very tight. Mm-hmm. It's very tight. Pecota says 94 and 68. Your thoughts, Jeffrey?
I'll go a little bit over. I just think they always find a way to win 98 plus games in this division. I don't think that's actually going to change, even with the stuff they did, even with replacing Trey Turner with Miguel Rojas. I just feel like, you know, you want to talk about NL Rookie of the Years, like, yeah, Miguel Vargas and James Outman right there. Would you be shocked if either one of them finished in the top two or one?
I would not, just because, especially, I mean, Vargas is just going to be the second baseman.
Yeah.
And he's just going to play, and he can really hit. Like, I don't think it's going to be 30 homer power or probably even 25. But I think he's going to hit.
He's going to be one of those guys that hits like 283 with 22 home runs and is good enough at second and gets on base enough.
In front of him.
Yeah.
There could be a lot of RBI, you know,
look up at the end of the season and it's like 3.8 wins above replacement. It's just like a really nice player.
Yeah. So I also went over, I was in my head, I think 97, which was kind of our pre Gavin Lux injury projection. I agree with you. I think this is less a statement of my belief in the Dodgers than I kind of think I'm a little lower on the rest of the division.
Yeah.
Than others seem to be, than our projections seem to be. It's still a pretty solid, like, JD Martinez looks pretty bad thus far in spring training. If we're just going to base off spring training looks, by the way. David Peralta seems okay. He was fine in the WBC. He's hitting a little bit at the end of spring training. These guys aren't exciting, but they're fine.
They're fine.
They're going to do what they're going to do. And I think they'll, like, you know, kind of keep the lineup moving. I think the Dodgers lineup is pretty deep given all the attrition.
Yeah.
And I think the stars are really going to be stars. I think we're going to see a lot from Mookie Betts. I think we're going to see a lot from Freddie Freeman.
I'm curious what 2023 Max Muncy looks like, I guess, because I think that can be a little bit of an inflection point for that lineup. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think he is a key cog, and I think he's healthy and he's going to have a big year. Again, it doesn't really matter. The lefty was Tucker Davidson. He had a left-on-left homer yesterday. Yeah. If you can, it's not that important. But it's that for a guy who was messed up for a significant portion
of last year.
Major
league quality stuff. Tucker Davidson doesn't always know where it's going, but...
Yeah. He also then immediately gave up a homer to Chris Taylor, so maybe not so great of a measurement stick, but, like, whatever. I think... a little bit over. Now, would it surprise me if they were at 94, even 90 wins? No, I think this is a pretty
There's downside risk with starting James Outman and Miguel Vargas.
And Miguel Vargas. And yeah, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get from Chris Taylor this year. He's looked really, really bad. legitimately striking out in like half.
Yeah, you got Michael Busch there, I guess, in waiting. They have the guys to fill holes.
This is the reason I think I care. I like the Dodgers more than anyone else. And some of it might just be, I really don't think it's bias because I tend to hate the teams I love more than I actually love them. But it's because they do get some credit for being the Dodgers and producing these guys over a long period of time. They have better fallback options. Now, the fallback options are risky. You know, we don't know if Michael Busch can hit MLB pitching the way he has minor league pitching, or even like 80% of it. Like, we don't know, but they have those options to churn through. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like what that whole discussion we had about the Cardinals, which is like they have the guys to rotate through and options to try. You know, if Noah Syndergaard gets hurt or just doesn't have it, they have Gavin Stone, if they have Bobby Miller
and Nick Nastrini,
they have, you know, they optioned Michael Grove. Grove hits 98 on the gun.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I don't think he's special, but he would be in a lot of major league rotations as a fourth or fifth starter, right? I mean, like, assuming he's healthy, he's been hurt a lot.
He might be the Jays' fourth or fifth starter by August. So,
yeah, I mean, like, I wrote somewhere that he's going to be like the new Mitch White, who was the new Ross Stripling, which means he'll be on the Jays in the middle of 2025. He's fine. Like,
they optioned Victor Gonzalez, I think, too.
They did option. He's been on a little bit of a journey.
Yeah.
His control really left for a while. But these are the options they have, either in the bullpen or in the rotation, or again, even in the lineup with guys like Michael Bush, are just they're relatively high quality options, even if they're unknown.
Yeah.
To some degree,
the bullpen and does like the bullpen. Like, I feel like bad. The bullpen feels like a little light to me. That
it's
might
a little shaky
because
right
they
now
don't have a true capital C closer, which I think they should be able to manage. But also, it's Dave Roberts doing that, so
and that's concerning.
Yes.
Yeah. So look, I mean, they have an entire bullpen on the IL.
That
right
too.
Now.
Yeah.
Look, I think Evan Phillips is fine as a capital C closer. I will sadly probably never forget. I think came into two bases loaded situations last year in back-to-back games and got out of both of them without scoring a run. He's unflappable in that way. I'm not worried about him being the closer or it being like too big a stage for him. Now, ideally you want him available in the seventh inning of a base with a bases loaded situation instead of being the closer. I also think Brewster Graterol in a lot of ways is an optimal ninth inning guy,
right?
You know, rather than maybe those seventh inning situations.
He's like their Joe Borowski or whatever that you want.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, like, he's better than
he's
that.
Better than
yeah,
that, but
kind
yeah
of. So I think they'll figure it out. I mean, Yency Almonte, we love to talk about Yency here. He came into last night's spring training game, looked really good throwing the sweeper and obviously his fastball. It's a little bit shaky. You know, they signed Shelby Miller to a major league deal and he's had a weird spring. He looked okay yesterday. Andre Jackson is in this bullpen.
Yeah, that's how they made it. I like him.
But I like him. He's going to give up some home runs. He's a fly ball guy. They have, you know, I'm interested to see what Alex Reyes brings when and if he's healthy. I don't know. I think this is not the strongest bullpen they had. You know, they signed Daniel Hudson and they signed Blake Treinen to 1+1 extension deals in the middle of last season while both were injured, and both are still injured. Treinen came back through a couple innings and now has shoulder surgery. He's going to miss the whole year. Hudson can't get up and down in like without multiple days in between. So he can pitch. He just can't pitch often enough. It's a knee injury. He's 35. He's had a lot of arm injuries over the course of the year. Again, they guaranteed money to Shelby Miller. I do question some of the strategy on this kind of stuff. You know, this is a team that was trying to get under the luxury tax, and they signed a bunch of relievers to guaranteed money deals. They're not big money. $7 million, $6 million, $8 million. It adds up.
It does.
And I don't know what the do you have any expectation for the quality of those guys? Miller, Hudson, and Trinan's out for the year.
Yeah.
But Miller and Hudson, when Hudson's healthy, I still don't know. He was good when healthy last time.
Yeah.
But who knows? I don't know. It's the bullpen's a little bit of a mess, but again, they have Bobby Miller to throw in the bullpen if they need to. They have Michael Grove they can put into the bullpen. Landon Knack probably belongs in the bullpen. You mentioned River Ryan is throwing 101.
He is
now.
Yeah.
You know, they had a guy. I'm looking at I don't remember the name. They had a guy they signed out of independent ball who came in and was throwing 101 in a spring training game. I mean, who knows? I don't know. I assume they'll figure out the bullpen. You know what I mean?
We're not watching for the bullpen, though.
We are not.
I'm watching for
Yency
Almonte, but
Bruce Darwin. Who else? Who else are you watching for, Jeffrey? Who's your appointment TV here?
No surprise, it's Dustin May. Aesthetics aside, which are great, I just want a full, healthy Dustin May season, right? He's thrown 143 innings over 4 years. One of those was the pandemic season, which he actually was healthy for pretty much all of. And, you know, he's got a career 3.26 ERA. He was good in spring. It looks good. Just give me 30 starts of Dustin May and all that entails.
Number two starter.
Yeah.
They are going with Julio Urías for opening day. I think that makes sense. May will split up the lefties, him and Kershaw. Kershaw, by the way, I don't know if you saw yesterday, six innings and like 75 pitches. The full game took 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Yeah.
he picked up two pitch clock violations because he was ready. He was throwing the pitch like before the batter was ready.
Doing the match.
He didn't take too long. He was moving too fast somehow. Dustin May, I'm ready for what you're saying, like the full season. There's going to be some ugly starts in there, I'm sure. Yeah. He's going to get dinked and dunked because that's kind of how his stuff works. But I just
his middle infield defense is now Miguel Rojas and
Miguel Rojas Vargas. Can play defense.
He's
but
fine
yeah.
at short. He's a little stretch shortstop, but
oh come on, he's fine at
he's
short.
He's fine, but it's not like
he's not stretched. Come on.
He's like he's like an average shortstop. I think Turner's probably he's a little better than that, but it might.
I think he's a little bit better than average. But regardless, a full season of Muncy at third base, not great defensively.
Sure.
All of that kind of stuff. I went with Mookie Betts. It's the obvious one. Yeah. But like I think Mookie gets lost a little bit in he wasn't the aesthetically pleasing like guy that Trey Turner was in terms of like he wasn't doing the slides, but you watch him and it is so entertaining. He is so compelling, but it's so much of like the little stuff. I will never forget that turn and throw he had against the Giants in the 2021 NLDS when he gunned down Wilmer Flores at third base. He did that little He like spun the opposite way that I was expecting or something. His arm is incredible. I mean, he's one of the best players in baseball. This isn't news to anyone.
Right.
But it really is like the little things that he's always doing right are so, so, so much fun. And he really is a reason to like watch the game. Like he is one of my favorite guys to watch, period. Just this was true in Boston.
Yeah.
He's the reason I'm turning on a baseball game, whether it's for the Dodgers, whether it's for Team USA, whether it's, whatever it is. Like, there could be a whole host of talent, but, like, Mookie Betts is one of the reasons I'm watching.
And you might get to see him at second base on occasion this season, too.
They said he's going to play, like, 20 games there. I don't really understand it. Their outfield features a lot of Jason Hayward and Trace Thompson as options, so, like, I don't think you need to squeeze those guys in, but, like, whatever. They said when Miguel Vargas is not playing, when he's either benching or maybe DHing or something benching, when he's on the bench getting
load management, Craig, they're doing load management now.
Yeah, load management. Or if he's DHing, like Mookie will slide to second base. I expect Chris Taylor will take some games there as well. But yeah. And did Mookie came in and played late for Team USA in second base, right?
One of those blowouts, I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, why not? Listen, I think if you're going to play Mookie at second, they should just put him at short. He's got the arm.
Sure. Let's get weird.
All right. You probably haven't heard of him.
I mean,
we've talked about him a lot, so you've heard about him at this point.
I'm still going with Miguel Vargas. I like watching Miguel Vargas hit. I like watching him field at second base for slightly different reasons than I like watching him hit. But again,
he's
this
not
is like,
bad.
He's not bad.
He's better than I thought he
was. I was the one that was like, you were the one like, oh, I don't know. When I was
no, you
like,
were, G-chat, you, were, you yeah. thought he'd be fine.
Yeah,
and he is fine.
He will be a respectable like -3 to -5 runs there or whatever. And I mean,
they had. I was listening to the broadcast and I think it was
he's
Eric
more
Karras,
athletic.
So
like he's more athletic.
Salt, but they were like they're impressed
for.
With his defense.
He's like not like he gets like he's a big dude, but he's not like.
He's not super thick in the lower half.
Yeah, he moves well. He moves well at third, too. I always thought he would be fine there. His was the first step quickness at third might have been a little bit of an issue. Second, you get a little more time to read the ball, I guess. Although in a post-shift world, he is going to be literally out on an island there. So we'll see how that goes. I think he'll be fine there. Again, he's going to be...
He has done fine, yeah.
He's hitter-ish. I like him.
Yeah. I went with Gavin Stone, a guy I've talked about a fair bit. I mean, talk about a reason for appointment TV also. That changeup is unbelievable.
So good, yeah.
The pitching ninja had a collection that he struck out 8 of 9 batters in his either last or second to last spring training game. He threw three innings. It is just a devastating pitch. I had someone, I made the case that they needed, this was before Outman made the roster, that they needed to take Outman with them out of camp. They really don't have room to mess around and play like the long-term game. And I think that applies to Gavin Stone too. I think he needs to be, with Brian Tapio,
who has
a 7 change.
He does. He can get up to 95 too. And
he's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher. He's a good depth piece. He'd be the Pirates' number 3 starter. But Gavin Stone's changeup is better.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a bat misser. And, credit to Pepio. I will say, he had no idea where the ball was going last year. That's long been his bugaboo. I think he only walked one guy in spring training, something like that. So, look, if he can control where he's throwing it, then...
I mean, I think he's a perfectly fine major league starter.
Yes. It's just that Gavin Stone...
It's 20% less exciting than Gavin Stone.
Yeah, they're very similar pitchers. Gavin Stone's a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I think he's ready right now. And I think the biggest difference...
He's not young.
Is that
he was a senior sign, so...
Well, 24. Yeah, 24, I think, like that. Stone can miss major league bats right now.
Yeah.
And...
He pitched in AAA last year. He didn't have a ton of starts, but he had, I think, a half dozen starts in AAA last year.
Yeah, and I just think... I think we're going to see him this year anyway, and I would just run with him... Kind of, and again, this is similar to the Grayson thing to me, and I don't really think it's manipulation on their part.
No, I don't think it is either.
But it's similar to the Grayson thing to me, where it's like, if it's not him, then just turn to Pepio after. That's fine. Pepio was the up and down guy last year, along with Grove. They're lucky they have that many options of viable back end starters. But Stone, if he runs with it, could be a mid rotation guy early.
Yeah.
So. Yep. I don't know. That's the guy I'm keeping an eye on. When he comes up, I promise you, you will not regret watching the game for that changeup. It's really, really good. Watchability ratings, Jeffrey.
I went with a 70. So it's a slightly different kind of 70. I think I've given them 7s in the past as well. Mm-hmm. It's just there's a little... So it's still a really good team, really good rotation, as we've talked about. But there's a little it's a little messy now, right? The Dodgers can be a little... It's not like this well-oiled 105-win machine anymore. And that's a different kind of watchability. It's like when you see the old boxer starts to slip a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually a great way to put it. I was going to say, it's almost more watchable because of that, to some degree. So how are they going to handle this?
Yeah.
How are they going to adapt? All of a sudden, it's not... Am I watching for my expectations to be met? I'm watching for what's going to unfold and how are they going to adapt to it. And I as a fan, I do think this is obviously a worse team. I wish they went out and got more superstars. I would like to keep seeing Trey Turner. I would love to. I would have had Carlos Correa on this team. I'd be happy with it. At the same time, is there a little bit more intrigue to this season? Yeah, I think it's fair to say that there is. I also had him as a 70, so I'm with you on that. I think we barely mentioned Kershaw. We barely mentioned, I don't know if we talked about Freddie Freeman at all. Will Smith.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Will come Smith. Up. Yeah.
There's a ton of stars here. I mean, these are star-level guys.
But we've talked, Mookie Betts, this is we've talked about all the stars over the years. And
yeah. This is, they actually have some interesting guys they're really going to give some time to. And I think that's a different kind of interesting. So when you need a drink, Jeffrey.
It's the 7th inning of Rockies Dodgers on a warm, humid June evening. The series isn't going well so far. It's in Coors after all, and Austin Gomber pitched 7 shutout last night. This one is a bit tighter as Ryan Feltner got knocked around second time through the order. A 4-4 game, men on the corners with one out. It's time for Dave Roberts to do some managing. Austin Barnes is due up, so Skip looks down the end of the bench and signals for the lefty. Jason Hayward takes a strike down the middle and then grounds into a double play. Now it's getting downright steaming in a certain living room in suburban Maryland. A man silently adds a double shot of vodka and a handful of ice to a hibiscus ginger beer, squeezes in half a lime, and stews. He checks Twitter. Crudge is currently winning the Twitter poll. It keeps getting worse.
Extremely well done.
I should say That's true. Not put that in the doc to hide it from Craig, so he could not see it ahead of time.
I did not see it. That is very good. Well done. Our second team, the Padres. Pecota says also 94-68.
I think it's like 93.5, and the Dodgers were 94.5.
As of this morning, it is 93.9.
Okay.
To the Dodgers, 94.2.
Yeah.
This is about as tight as it
statistical
can be.
Tie, they say. Yeah.
Yes. What's your take on that?
So I initially thought this was like fair enough, about right. Then I looked at the roster resource page, and man, this rotation, I know with Musgrove hurt all of a sudden, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Jay Groom, maybe. The bottom of this lineup's a little, so I'm going under. I think it's like a low 90s win team. Obviously, they're going to get Tatis back at some point. They're going to get Musgrove back, I think.
They are.
Yeah.
I would like to read you a message that I got as part of a Slack channel from Patrick Dubuque at 2:38 in the morning, my time.
Yeah.
The Slack message is, what the fuck? And the image screenshot is, after this round of cuts, it would appear that outfielder David Dahl and infielder Rougned Odor are in line to make the opening day roster in San Diego.
David Dahl might be starting in that outfield.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the under as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's close, and it would not surprise me at all if they won upper 90s.
Sure.
Win games. Yeah. I think this is.
I mean, it's a like little more Dodgers, stars there's... and scrubs than you probably expected, yes. But the scrubs aren't that bad, and the stars are stars.
And there are guys in the middle who are pretty good, Jake Cronenworth,
sure,
etc.
We call that the Cronen zone. And again, like, yes.
Dahl is, you know, he might be starting for this team, but Tatis is going to come back, and it's going to be Tatis, and it's not going to be that much time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think the bigger question to me is, like, is Matt Carpenter going to be... What Matt Carpenter are you getting?
What Nelson Grisham Cruz are you getting?
What Trent Grisham are you getting? What Austin Nola is going to show up? It's probably the one we're used to. But, you know, those are kind of the questions. I'm not concerned about the stars. And the stars are going to perform. And, you know, again, to your point about the rotation, like, it's... I'm not so concerned about Blake Snell and Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish. It's everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, Musgrove's already hurt. Snell's gets banged up from time to time too. They had no bullets left to fire in the system at this point. So
this is why I took the over by a couple games on the Dodgers and I am leaning a little bit under. If I had to guess a record, I would probably say 92 or 93 wins for this Padres team. It's marginal, right? I'm not really disagreeing with Pecota. It's within the range. The level of depth everywhere, but like catcher, like if Luis Camposano was the starting catcher instead of Austin Nola, like that might actually be better for them. I don't know. But like everywhere else, it is, like you said, there's no bullets left to fire. The upper minors, I mean, it's Ryan Weathers?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else. Reese Kinnear?
Yeah.
Cole Hamels? was an NRI.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Julio Tehran was an NRI.
Morihone is hurt, right?
Morihone is hurt. Wilmer Font is in this organization.
Yeah.
We are remembering some guy. Aaron Brooks was an NRI. Anderson Espinoza.
I did know that. Yeah. Coming home.
Was an NRI.
Coming you back, know. I guess.
Yeah. I just think the guys that are here are good, broadly speaking. Obviously, there are some scrubs and stars and scrubs, but everyone after that. And I just, you don't know, you know, would it shock you if Fernando Tatis missed some time due to injury?
No.
No. And then your next option is Jose Azucar, Adam Engel, or David Dahl. That's not great.
No.
I actually didn't mind the Engel pickup when they had it, but they've already optioned him. So I'm guessing he wasn't as good as I even thought. So, yeah, I don't know. That's what's bothering me about this team. And I just worry, I don't know, the last... It's weird. I feel like there are a lot of teams like this right now where I'm like, the front line, not bad. Phillies.
Yeah.
White Sox. You know. But what happens when someone goes down?
You know, Mariners are like this to an extent, too.
Mariners. You know, Angels. You know.
Always the Angels.
Always the Angels.
The Rangers.
I don't know. Could you throw Toronto in that mix? Depending on where it is.
They got a little more depth.
Like, Addison Barger can fill in if an injury happens in the infield. But, like, you know, I don't know. There are kind of a lot of teams in this mold as I was kind of looking around the league. And, you know, look at the Yankees. Yankees are really good. But, like, they're starting Yoni, what's his name? Brito. Yoni Brito?
Yeah. And
who is that, Jeffrey?
He's like one of those classic like Yankees dudes that got to jump in Double A. Like he's a Jarrett Seidler special.
Okay.
But he's fine. Like he's fine, but also like he probably should not be breaking camp in the Yankees starting rotation.
Look, they've had injuries. I get it. They traded
Waldichuk. I think Sears. Who else? Sears. I think Glenn Otto. I know he hasn't been good, but. You know,
and Heel got hurt.
And Medina, they traded to the A's too. Yeah.
David Garcia took steps back.
Several steps back at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm just saying, like it is. It just feels like that's the state for a lot of teams mm-hmm. right now, where it's like, if it all works out, it could be really good.
Yeah.
But the lesson from the last 5 years of baseball was like. Build a team that plans for it not working, all working out. That was the Yankees. That was the Dodgers. That was Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't always build, but they adjusted mid-season. You know, they went and got a new outfield and stuff like that. I mean, that's what the Mets have been doing. You know, since the change in management and that kind of stuff. And that to me is the way to do it. And it just seems like we have a lot of like better hope. Nothing falls apart, you know, that's and that's where the Padres are to me. Now they have the high quality guys that even if some guys fall apart, like they can carry it for a little bit. But I don't know. Your appointment TV for this team.
I went with you, Darvish. It's a good
hard to choose kind of.
Yeah, I guess. Like. Blake Snell is a good pitcher. I do not enjoy watching pitch.
No, I mean, look, I'm the leader on that train.
Joe Musgrove is like,
I like watching him, but it's like very much watching
an optimized pitcher in the 2020s, right? Which again is fine, but kind of boring in a way. Darvish, just the sheer kind of variety of stuff he throws, how it moves, his whole mound demeanor, and again, I feel like he gets a little underrated at this point in his career. I think because San Diego, well, being at various times and various segments of like baseball Twitter's second favorite team
mm-hmm.
constantly, I don't think they necessarily get a ton of commensurate attention sort of more more widely than that. So he's just kind of sitting there as
well, and I think when they have, it's been, you know, the Tatis breakout party, which, you know, like the grand slam when they were leading against Texas and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it was less on the pitching side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
and you went on the hitting side of things, so.
Yeah, I went with the entire line.
You could just take him Soto. It's fine.
It's Juan Soto, but like, what am I not gonna? Of course, I'm tuning in for Manny Machado. Yeah. Of course, I'm tuning in for Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah,
like I'm. Fernando Tatis is one of the most exciting players to watch. He just hasn't been on a field. I feel like we're forgetting like exactly how good he is and how fun he is. Yeah, I don't know. I say the whole lineup, but it's really like those guys.
Yeah.
That core group. But the point is, like, if I'm searching for a game and the Padres are playing, I'm absolutely turning them on to see the top of this lineup go absolutely nuts at any given moment. So that is literally like why I will turn on the TV for a team like this. You probably haven't heard of him. Was both kind of tough on this team. I know where you're going to go. So I said David Dahl.
Yeah.
And it's not that you haven't heard of him, but did you know he was still playing, much less like going to the roster?
I didn't know he was on the Padres. I figured he's still in the, you know, former first round pick, had some major league success when he first came up in Colorado, got hurt a bunch. So he's in that sort of itinerant NRI portion.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like people would have saw him
like, if you told me he was going to play like 110 games for the Royals this year, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Right.
That makes sense. I mean, I feel like people last remember him from like Texas. I think he signed with right after Colorado cut him or non-tendered him, I should say. And people thought, oh, maybe he'll find something like away from Colorado because it's, and then he got hurt again and he's just not had a great run of things. But yeah, so he's in San Diego. Look, I hope he's healthy. He's somehow only 29.
Yeah.
But like I said, this is a tough roster to do. You probably haven't heard of him because everyone is even the lesser known guy, like, you know, Ha-Seong Kim, people, he was around. Trent Grisham was around. Mm-hmm. Matt Carpenter, Nelson Cruz. Like the other option is Jose Azucar, who has been around and also not, but like he's like a fifth outfielder. Like it's just not like that. That's tough. And we went through like their minors issues and stuff like that. Jackson Merrill, probably not debuting this year.
I don't think so.
So like that's too far away. Yada yada yada. That's how I end up with David Dahl.
Mm. There's one other.
Jeffrey.
There's one other.
Yeah, there is one player. Other. Yeah, but I'm. Yeah, go ahead.
So I went with Nabil Chrismat, who I definitely have not written about a lot at Baseball Prospectus over the years. But look, he's going to make this bullpen.
Absolutely.
He's a good major league middle reliever that can work back to back days, give you multiple innings. Just throws that. You know, talk about fun changeups. It's not as good as Gavin Stone's, but he throws it a lot more than Gavin Stone does and gets outs with it.
It's really, he's honestly a fun watch.
He is.
Kind of in the same, you were saying like the boxer's kind of lost a step or whatever. Yeah. Like it's just constantly like, how is he going to do it? And the answer is he's going to throw.
It's got like, I'll burnish my Connecticut bona fides here. He's a little, it's got a little bit of like Willie Pep to it, right?
Yeah, it's just like
I don't know. It's like I think it's an apocryphal story, but he supposedly won a round without ever throwing a punch because his defense was so good. Yeah, it's like that kind of
Yeah, and it's just like I mean the answer. What's funny is like you also know the answer, right? Like how's he going to do it? And the answer is the changeup. But like how is it going to work? How does it keep working?
Yeah.
How do guys stay off balance on the same pitch over and over, you know? You've absolutely converted me to a Chrismat head.
Mm-hmm.
Watchability rating. I went top of the scale, Jeffrey.
You did. I can't.
You gotta use the whole scale.
You do. The lineup's not deep enough for me to get there.
I get it, but the top four, like you.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to say Bogaerts, Machado, Soto, the front end of the pitching is good. Tatis when he's back, yeah.
Yeah, and the first three starters. Look, you're fair enough. I don't love watching Blake Snell, but like Musgrove and Darvish are solid watches. I think I don't know. Also, I will point out you have to give credit to Don Orsillo and Mudcat Grant on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Top tier broadcast to listen
good
to.
Good stadium. Well. Great to watch stadium. Game into. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, the aesthetics of the whole thing, I'm a fan of. So when you need a drink.
Punch, the boozy arm of Vox Media's Eater website, recently posted a column proclaiming that craft beer is dank again. The West Coast IPA has fallen out of favor as all manners of trendy, juicy, milkshake, mimosa-ish versions have become more in vogue. Dry hopping is making a comeback. Green Flash, San Diego's famous local, makes a lovely West Coast IPA. I'll be honest, I really have to be in the right mood for one. The worst versions taste like grass clippings, and adding bunches of hops late can cover for bad process and get your stuff to market quicker. Much like Juan Soto can cover for a rotation that may have one or more of Michael Wacha, Nick Martinez, Seth Lugo, and Jay Groom. At least it's a punchy 6.5%.
Well done. I think on that note, let's take a break and we'll be back with the last three teams in this division. We're back with episode 273 of Five and Dive. We're moving on to our third team in this division. And Jeffrey, there's a drop-off here.
There is.
There's a drop-off. San Francisco Giants. Pakoda says 81 and 81. And rather than force you to answer for this, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know what to do with this team. I really want to say under, not out of any particular animus, but mostly that I think, I look at this team and I think, what the hell is this?
Fair enough.
It feels like a goddamn mess. But despite last year's results, I think it's true that San Francisco is good at reviving and developing pitching. And, you know, I don't know if the whole platoon thing is going to work out the same way it had in 2021 was a little fluky. I think there are process things that were right, but the results were still outsized. But I'm still looking at this roster and saying, like, I don't get it. And maybe the result of that is 500. Maybe Pakoda's right. I just don't know. Like, I kind of look at it and say, like, this is 74 wins. Like, this is off by a lot. But then, like, if you were like, I think the Giants are going to win 83, I'd be like,
that's basically where I am.
Yeah, okay, see, because, like, I'm like, all right, maybe, yeah, sure. I can like, sketch it out. Mm-hmm. I can see that to some degree. What? How are they getting there for you?
I just think there's, like, enough pitching here, especially in that ballpark.
It's a lot of arms.
A lot of arms. With more, like, would you be shocked if Kyle Harrison's making starts for them at some point, too?
No, I think he should be.
Yeah, he probably should be. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm not like up in arms that he's not breaking camp with them or whatever. Yeah. But I think at some point this season he should be making starts for them.
Yeah. And I just again.
And I actually some of the reason I think they're going to be under is like I don't think they're that good, and they're one of the teams with a bunch of arms that they might be willing to trade, and there are going to be teams looking for those arms, and I think they're going to backfill it with a guy like Harrison.
Sure, I just. The rest of the National League isn't very good. The rest of this division isn't very good. Again, I'm like the 83-84 win range. They're also a team, you know, that if they're a game or two or in that sixth playoff team now, if they're around one of those wild card spots, they could certainly be buying at the deadline too, even if they're on an 84 win pace or something like that.
They could, for sure. This is... Look, I just want to run down the roster resource lineup. Lamont Wade, Tyro Estrada, Jock Peterson, Michael Conforto, Brandon Crawford, David Villar, Mike Yastrzemski, Joey Bart, Blake Sable.
So I will say one thing about that lineup. If you told me every single one of those hitters was under a 100 OPS plus, like that's in play here.
Yeah, this is what I don't...
Right.
I mean, like, but also, look, like, I was Jock Peterson. I forget how good he was last year. He was really good last year.
And I think Peterson will be good. I think Conforto will be fine.
Probably fine. Yeah, I mean, good. Like, good. Yeah. Fine in the Michael Conforto.
You know, David Villar has some upside.
Yeah.
So you can
also Joey Bart might be real bad.
You can also talk yourself into this being like a 107 OPS plus lineup, right? In the same way.
Yes.
You can
talk about the flip side 90... of it is like if you told me every one of those guys OPS plus 111 or whatever, I'd be like, all right,
there's
I guess.
Limited upside here, which I think is part of it too. I mean, they.
Yes.
Anybody can, you know, if you're a 110 true talent level hitter, you can pop a 130. Like, it's not that. But I'm just saying it's not particularly, you're talking about like a high end outcome. Which, again, that's one thing that happened in 2021, right? They hit all of these. Like, somebody's going to hit some team in the history of baseball. There's enough years and enough team is going to hit a ton of 95th percentile outcomes one season. And it might have just been the 2021 Giants.
Jeffrey, one guy on this bench is listed, projected. Uh-huh. Roster resource projection. Bryce Johnson.
Okay.
Who is that?
I don't know, Craig.
I don't know who that is. The Bryce Johnson I know was a forward for UNC basketball. I don't know who Bryce Johnson is.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I spelled it correctly without checking whether it was a Y or not.
Without checking? Yeah. He was on the major league team last year. 11 games.
Yeah. 26-year-old bench outfielder. This all roughly checks out. Was not even that good. And did I see this? I saw Sacramento last year. He might have already been up by then, though. If it was like, I think I saw him in September. So,
I guess I'm just saying, like, this is. Look, maybe I should know him, but the fact that I don't, I feel like, is not great. He's also an NRI. He's not on the 40 right now.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. The pitching. Look, this is going to come down to the pitching. So let's talk. Yeah. Both of our appointment TV selections are pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go there first. I'll start with because I have a guy who's on the team right now.
You do.
Logan Webb. I mean, look, this is, again, I ran down the lineup. If you're a real Michael Conforto head, if you're a Jock Peterson guy, maybe you're tuning in for those guys. I don't think there's anyone in that lineup you're tuning in for. And if you're going to watch anyone on this team right now, caveat, it's Logan Webb.
Sure. It's just not my, he's fine. It's just not my cup of tea as a pitcher.
Well, the sinker, he's got the seam,
different kind of 2023 optimized.
Yes,
pitcher,
different kind.
But still,
but I think he can be pretty entertaining when he's not pitching against your team twice in a do or die series, in a 5-game NLDS. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hated watching him then. I could not appreciate it in the moment. I think he's a really good pitcher, though. And I actually have enjoyed watching him outside of that kind of context.
Yeah.
Your selection.
Kyle Harrison, eventually. Again, it's really fun stuff, too. It might be 3-plus pitches at this point. He doesn't always know where it's going, which can be entertaining in its own way, too, especially in the... that can turn into Blake Snell pretty quickly, but he doesn't nibble like Snell does. It's just he doesn't always locate his stuff well. And this is kind of like a sneaky old team, too. There isn't a lot of young players, really. I guess you can throw Blake Sable in there at this point, but Joey Bart's not a Joey Bart like 26 or 27, but he feels like he's
26
been around
already.
Forever. Yeah. I almost picked Camilo Doval here.
Yeah,
but again,
good.
I didn't want to
that's
pick another
fair.
Reliever per se. He's like he's a very good late inning reliever that throws hard. That's just not exactly in short supply. Nowadays.
No, but it is fun.
It is fun.
I was tempted to do the Tyler and Taylor Rogers. Both
sure. Yeah.
But that's not, it's more of a fun concept than it is in execution. You probably haven't heard of him. Let's talk about Blake Sable.
Sure. I did not know Blake Sable was on the Giants. Was he a minor league
free
agent? They rule fived him from.
Wasn't it? I thought. No, now it says trade. I guess they might have executed a trade, but I believe he was originally rule fived.
Okay, fair enough. A guy our prospect team has liked a little bit over the years. He's always hit. He's always been old for the levels. Some of that is the, he was drafted in 2019, so he didn't get that first full pro season until 2021. He's always hit. He's not really a catcher anymore, but he can still sneak back behind. He's a fun little roster flex guy. He's got some real power. He seems like the kind of player the Giants can get a little bit more out of than maybe some other organizations. Maybe hide him against tough lefties and things like that. Would I be shocked if he somehow gets a 780 OPS or something like that, playing a couple different spots, catching once a week? No, I would not.
Just so I will add some context. The reason Roster Resources trade is he was selected by the Reds in the Rule 5 draft.
And they traded him
To the Giants. So he is a Rule 5 selection in the sense that if he doesn't make the team, he'll go through the Rule 5 waivers slash be offered back to the Pirates. But,
He played a month in AAA last year, hit .296, .426, .543.
He's an interesting guy.
Already
25. So, I think we kind of run with it at this point. By the way, I will add, I didn't mention this because he's on the platoon side of things, but like JD Davis is on this team.
He is.
It wouldn't surprise me if he hits well. Yeah. He hit well kind of after the trade and that kind of stuff. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he's pretty good. I went with David Villar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who's torn up the upper levels of the minors. I think he wasn't really a known. People who follow prospects knew him, whatever, but he wasn't like a big prospect name. Kind of more of a producer than like a high end kind of pedigree.
Another guy, older for his levels too, and he was doing this.
Always older for his levels, yeah. Triple A last year. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. 84 games.
Yeah. 1,000 OPS, yeah.
Yeah, .275, .404, .617. When you talk about like,
he strikes out a lot. It is the PCL, but
yeah, he strikes out. He walks a lot, though. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if he was like a pretty solid. This is a guy who I feel like if he was on the Rays, would just absolutely turn into like that annoyingly good player. You know what I mean?
The Giants are kind of doing the same. They're not Rays level at this yet, but they get some nice little. They did with Mike Yastrzemski, basically, right?
Yeah. Well, and look, last year at the major league level, he struck out 32%. That's too much. He's going to have to bring that down a little bit. But he walked almost 10% of the time, .231, .331, .455. That's actually pretty good considering the offensive environment we were in. So I think he's not really like a household name or anything like that. Wouldn't surprise me if he's overall pretty good for this team. Watchability ratings. Again, I'm a little bit under you. I'm a little bit more dour on this team than you.
Yeah, I mean,
I went with a 45.
I went with a 50, and a lot of that's just, again, good broadcast, good stadium. It's not a boring lineup. There's like some interesting storylines to follow on this team. I do love a West Coast game, even though I'm now in Mountain Time. So I gotta watch something. Yeah, you can at least stretch me to like 11 at night with baseball to watch, but.
Well, we'll see with the pitch clock.
Yeah, that's also that. I'm not thrilled about it.
I agree. So, aesthetically, the park is fantastic. They have some of my favorite uniforms in baseball. I love the cream.
Yeah, they're good.
Home unis. They just pop. They're really good. Their City Connects are awful, and I hope they don't wear them very much this year. But their regular uniforms are really, really good. I think the pitching is going to be worth watching. We really, I mentioned Logan Webb, but Alex Cobb, Sean Manaea, Ross Stripling.
Yeah, not my
Alex Wood.
It's all fine, right? If you tune into the game, it's not. It's going to be a perfectly fine starting pitcher, but again, not my.
Not your cups of tea. They're very different guys.
Yes.
Between the four of them, but Anthony Desclafani probably going to be in the mix, starting a fair bit as well at various times. I think it's fine. I just this lineup does not do it for me at all. You know. I don't know. Maybe I'll tune in to see if John Miller goes ham on an Arizona media relations person or something like that. No, but you're right. I will say this. I'm sure I'll catch flack for it, and that's fine. It might just be my bias.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a huge fan of the regular TV broadcast. I absolutely love their love John Miller.
Yeah.
Dave Fleming, and usually good as well. I think they're fine. Like they just don't hit the sweet spot for me that they do for other people. And again, that might just be a Dodgers bias kind of thing. I will readily admit that. So when you need a drink.
San Francisco is the center of modern tiki cocktails, with Smuggler's Cove, a James Beard Award winner, a true destination bar for the devotees of Beach Bum Barry and Don the Beachcomber. You might be familiar with weak frozen daiquiris or sticky sweet Singapore slings, but the traditional recipes are long sippers, well-balanced, and yes, plenty boozy. The pitch clock means you only have a pearl driver or two before it's time to head back to the BART, but nothing warms you up for the coldest winter of your life like that Jeff Barry classic.
All right. Our fourth team in the division, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Pecota says 75 and 87.
That's about right.
I went over. I know I've talked to some people who are like, this team is getting way too much. I don't know. They're not even getting hype. But like, is maybe not getting enough criticism.
Sure.
Is maybe the sense.
What is it, what did they actually, so like my thing is like, what did they actually do to improve on last year's team? They traded Dalton Varsho for Gabriel Moreno, like,
and Lourdes Gurriel.
And Lourdes Gurriel, sure. You're going to get a full season of Corbin Carroll.
Would it shock you if Lourdes Gurriel is better than Dalton Varsho?
It would surprise me. It wouldn't shock me. He's older than you think, too.
No, I know. I know. And it's only 1 year. I understand that. But, like, they were a 74-win team last year.
Yeah.
I don't think this is saying, like, they're going to be much, much
better.
That's
what I said about right. I think that
the, well, but I think the difference is,
I think the betting markets have them closer to, like, 80.
Do they?
I think so, yeah.
I can probably check that.
I looked this up last night, but
I think, yeah, I mean, I think that's a little bit aggressive for me. In terms of high confidence,
mm-hmm.
I would say I could see them winning around 80, 81, something like that. Wouldn't shock me. That's kind of what I had in mind, but I wouldn't feel great about it if you said, like, if Pecota said it there, I would probably take a little bit under, you know what I mean, in terms of how it actually play out. 78 wins, something in that range.
Sure.
But I think the difference is you have to hope the difference is in the pitching staff.
Yes. They're still signing up for 32 starts of Madison Bumgarner, but yes.
They are. And that's not great. But they also have other options, right? Like some of these guys that they drafted in that like 8 pick.
Yeah, Ryan Nelson's making this rotation. Right. Dre Jameson, I assume, is going to be somewhat stretched out in the pen. Brendan Fatt.
They said he's going to be in the pen. Dre Jameson to start, which again to me is like they're kind of trying to say like we're carrying our most talented players even if they're not in the role you maybe would expect. They're trying to beef up that bullpen to some degree, which it's not a good bullpen, so I understand why. But I don't know. It seems like they're trying to push a little bit forward. You're going to see Corbin Carroll all year. I don't know what they're doing exactly with Alec Thomas. They kind of have a lot of outfielders. I don't quite understand what they're doing with that situation. I don't know if you do.
I don't either. I guess they could see more of a, you know, rotation, load management, platoon-y kind of setup. I mean, I assume that Alec Thomas is just going to start in center because he's the best center fielder here. Not that Carroll can't play there. You know, Kyle Lewis could probably play there too, but.
I mean, Kyle Lewis is not going to be healthy.
How
many people know Kyle Lewis is on the Diamondbacks?
I did know that. Corbin Carroll is.
No, you
know,
Corbin Carroll has
like had injury issues too. So
sure.
Gabriel Moreno hasn't consistently stayed healthy behind the plate, at least when catching. So
well, he's going to get a shot.
Jesse, he is, not
because
absolutely.
Carson Kelly, what did he break his arm?
Fractured forearm. Yes.
Fractured forearm. So he's going to get a shot.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this bullpen is. Did you know Miguel Castro was on the Diamondbacks now?
Now that you said it, like something triggered. But if you had said what team is Miguel Castro on, I would not have guessed the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
So I don't think I really get credit for that. I will tell you, the Arizona Diamondbacks, at least on the place I'm looking, is 75.5.
Okay.
Is there over under?
I thought I sound like 77, 78, but yeah.
It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
I understand. But, you know, again, I'm kind of talking up the positives. Look, Nick Ahmed is a fine shortstop. He should not be the starter. Like, he can't really hit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Josh Rojas on this team.
Christian Walker is going to be 32, like, if the bat speed goes a little bit.
He's been good.
He has been.
I think Jake McCarthy is getting a little too much helium. There's a lot of fantasy kind of stuff from him. But I think he's a great fourth outfielder. I think he's not a great starting outfielder. And again, like, they have Gurriel. They have Carroll. They have Thomas. They have McCarthy. They have Lewis. Like, what is... I don't know. I don't know what the plan is to mix all of those guys kind of most most effectively at mm-hmm. this point. And like, if you're starting Jake McCarthy, I think it's just such a mistake. Like, Alec Thomas should not be really in a, for a team that's not actually competing, Alec Thomas should just be playing every day.
Yeah, they.
He shouldn't be forced to people, be a I don't know if
they think they're actually competing, season. But people are acting like they're actually competing. So,
yeah. So appointment TV. Let's go to that.
Oh, was that Gallen?
That's the best choice.
Yeah, I mean, you could Kettle Marte, I guess. I'll be sure. interested in Brandon Fatt when he's up. Ryan Nelson is fine, but he's like a four starter.
Yeah, I mean, so this is the other upside is like the, some of their pitchers are ready to step in, right? Even yeah. even if like Trey Jameson might end up in the rotation. I don't know how good he'll be there. I think he'll be a good reliever for the sure. time that he's relieving. Ryan Nelson, probably okay. You mentioned Brandon Fatt is, you know, people really like him. I'm more intrigued by him than I really like him.
I didn't see him great live. The pitch characteristics are very good. He obviously missed a ton of bats in the upper minors. We'll see how that all shakes out.
He's like the one guy who pitched really well in the PCL for this organization.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's got that going for him. So I understand on some level why there's some optimism here. I went with Corbin Carroll. I know that we've had our nitpicks with him. He's fast. He hits the ball hard. He plays hard. I think it's a really easy in terms of just aesthetics. Like, he's a fun guy to watch, right? He can hit a home run. He can put it in the gaps and run for three bases. He can drop an infield hit. You know, he can bunt for a hit, that kind of stuff. I understand. I'm not saying his game is perfect or anything close to that. I'm just saying it's an obvious, like, fun watch, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think he's good. We'll see if he's great, but I do think he's good. You probably haven't heard of him. We mentioned a few names already. Ryan Nelson was a guy you brought up originally just as part of the rotation. He came up and had some really nice starts at the end of last year. We'll see. The fastball was really effective. I don't know. Again, to me, like, this is a guy I'm interested in seeing how he does. I think it's going to be important to the success of their season. You know, it's a little unfair because, like, the real success is, like, is Zach Gallen going to be healthy?
Yes.
Like, that's the real question. Can Merrill Kelly retain kind of what he did last year? Mm. That's going to be the foundation. But, like, the swing of whether this is, and again, I'm not predicting playoffs or anything, but even just a successful season is, like, is Ryan Nelson for real?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get that 80-win season, like, stuff like that is going to have to go right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, and, like, you're probably more familiar with Nelson than I am. Like, do you want to break down at all, like, what his general deal is?
Oh, yeah, he's like he's not like a Joe Ryan fastball guy, but he throws his fastball a lot.
Yes.
It's like mid to
and he controls 90s, it. And he controls it really well. Yeah. It's not the high 90s. It is a little bit like Joe Ryan in the sense that it's like not premium velocity.
He throws harder than Joe Ryan does, but yes.
Yes, but it's a lot of the characteristics, kind of mm-hmm. like good characteristics fastball more than it is pure velo kind of thing.
Yeah, he gets it. I mean, his secondaries are fine. He can get swing and miss with those breaking balls. He does throw that fastball a lot, and he's like an extreme flyball pitcher, which would worry me in that park a little bit. But, and he has had home run issues, even in the minors. Although, again, those are all very friendly hitters' parks, really up and down the Arizona organization. So
your guy, or probably haven't heard of him.
I went with Carlos Vargas, who I did not know was on the Diamondbacks, but he's a fun, like, power reliever. Like, it's big stuff. He got up mm-hmm. a little bit. He really hasn't pitched much. I caught him on, I think he was rehabbing with their AA team when I caught him at the middle of 2022. Big fastball, big slider. Miss bats, can't always stay healthy. But could be a guy that actually catches a little bit of lightning in a bottle in that bullpen. Can probably throw multi innings too. So,
And they're going to need, I mean, look, I liked the Andrew Chafin pickup for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's a good pitcher. I was surprised he kind of just sat out there, but like roster resource lists four potential closers, one of whom was Castro, who we mentioned, Chafin, Kevin Ginkle, and Scott McGuff. Is it McGuff?
Sure.
Who was pitching overseas. They brought him back. Joe Mantiply, who was, I think, their all-star representative and had a great season. Not in the closer mix, apparently. And then it's like Cole Sulcer, Ryan Hendricks. It's not, this is not a good bullpen. I think what you really have to kind of hope on some level is some of these arms that they have in the upper levels of their system. Again, we mentioned Dre Jameson is going to be in that bullpen to start the season. Nick Pecora had an article that talked about how he's going to start there, but you know, he might end up in the rotation. He might just be a multi-inning guy, as Jeff said, out of the bullpen, that kind of thing. But again, if Bat comes up and maybe takes a rotation spot, maybe you see someone shift to the bullpen, maybe he comes up in a multi-inning role if they're gonna try, yeah, we'll see if they are.
It's one of those ones where like
we might see
Madison Bumgarner is just like
he's not shifting to the bullpen. And right, the problem is the other the other problem is like Zach Davies is their fifth starter. Yeah. You're not like getting anything extra out of him from the bullpen, really, either. So that's kind of what they're up against, I guess, at this point. Watchability ratings. You and I differed here again as well.
Yeah, I put a 45 on them. Like, this is kind of there's not a lot of storylines I'm particularly interested in following here compared to the Giants. It's not the greatest stadium experience in the world, as I learned.
Yeah, I went with a 50. I'm not like much higher on it, but again, like Carroll, Thomas, some of the pitching. Gallen, I love. I absolutely love watching Zach Gallen pitch. I think it's, yeah, I think there's enough here to carry it to like an average rating. And you never know when Rat Leung is going to show up. They're horrifying and disturbing mascot. There's Baxter. I know. But the secondary mascot, which is just a rat with only one hand or whatever.
Yes, yeah,
it's very upsetting. When you need a drink, Jeffrey.
I didn't get to drink much in Scottsdale. It was mostly long days at various ballparks. I planned on stopping at a liquor store to stock up on the things you just can't get in Utah. That didn't happen. I heard good things about their craft beer scene. I had one decent pilsner that I net quickly after a long, sweaty day at Chase Field. I don't even remember the name. There was a decent enough bar across the street from where I stayed. I don't remember their name either. The old fashioned was fine but forgettable, a hair too sweet. A common foible.
Okay, bringing up the rear, the closer to our entire preview series, Jeffrey, your Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, sometimes you get, some of these last place teams are just like kind of difficult to talk about and we zoom through them. The Rockies
not
are
this one.
The Rockies, yeah, the Rockies are going to get some time. So for all you Colorado heads out there.
Pecota says 65 and 97. Sam Miller, who wrote the Rockies essay for our annual. Go buy it now, your local store, or straight from our distributor. He wrote the essay for this team, and he asked the question, when will they stop being an expansion
team?
It's a great essay. That's like a meaner question that sounds meaner than it actually is to the team. We also ran that essay today, at Baseball Prospectus. So even if you did not buy the book, but you'd like to see what it's about, it is completely free to read. Go check it out. How do you feel about this team?
I went a little over here.
All right. Well, all right. Why?
Because they're never that bad. They're bad in very
they did win 68 games last year.
Confounding ways. You know, you look at this lineup, it's like, it's weird. It does not seem to have a cohesive philosophy or really a thought in its head, but there's some guys that can hit. The pitching staff's like, again, this year they're going to trade Herman Marquez? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they'll just never trade Herman Marquez.
So two things. Like you said about the philosophy, their entire thing is to me that tweet where it's like, check this out, motherfucker. And it's like slips and falls. It's not entirely clear what I was trying to do.
Yeah, it's a drill tweet. I like
that. No, it's a different guy. Okay. But I think that account doesn't exist anymore. But that's like their philosophy to me. Like they're doing something. They're always doing something. It's not entirely clear to me what it is.
I was thinking of a drill tweet. It's the one.
Oh, it's the drill tweet. The motorcycle.
The motorcycle one also applies to the Rockies. Yeah.
I rev my motorcycle in a cloud of smoke, and once it dissipates, I'm dead. Yeah. They're always doing something. It's not entirely clear to me what it is. You know, let's just point out over the last 10 days, they signed Jurickson and Profar.
They did.
Why not? Sure. He makes them a better team. Hitter, I'm right? not
That's
gonna...
the thing. They're going to win 68 games again. They're going to take four of six from the Dodgers at home. And they're
absolutely. Yeah, and the thing is, like, to your point, like, there's talent on this team. They're not, like, devoid of talent. It's just constructed so badly. I mean, at least Charlie Blackman's going to DH every day. He's not going to be in the field. Thanks for that. Jurickson Profar, though, is not a good fielder. He had a lot of guys run on him, and he threw a lot of guys out. So, like, some, like, our metrics weren't down on him as a fielder.
I don't know what Jonathan Daza is, but he's a perfectly fine center fielder. Like, he can go get
sure.
He can hit a little bit, too. Park's a good fit for him. Like, would I be shocked if he hits, like, an empty 290 there? No.
I guess all I'm saying is that's a big outfield, and Chris Bryant and Profar on the corners. I don't feel great about that.
It's like when Chris Bryant tracks down a double in the gap, and when the smoke clears, he's lying dead on the
track. He's dead on the warning track. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, look, the Brendan Rodgers injury is unfortunate.
It is. Sounds like they're going to play Ryan McMahon at second and
Elihoris Montero.
It could be Moustakas, too, at third.
Yeah, Moustakas is like, here. He's
Montero, I think, is having a pretty good spring training. I'm like, he can.
I did say the second thing was you were talking about Herman Marquez. I texted an industry person. I said, Tyler O'Neill for Herman Marquez. I know that there's some jaded history between the Rockies and Cardinals and trades of late. I don't know. Does that work for, you know, I guess they just signed Profar. So, like, you don't necessarily want Tyler O'Neill in center field in that big a center field.
Yeah.
He's a good athlete, especially for his size. But, like, it's something I could see happening.
Sure.
I think, we didn't quite go through the call-ups or whatever at the beginning. Jordan Walker is making the Cardinals. Someone's getting the short end of the
stick. Looks like Dylan Carlson to start, probably.
Sure. But it wouldn't shock me to see O'Neill or Carlson traded for some pitching at some point. We'll see. I don't know. I just don't. So I went about right on this. Sure. You're probably right that they always kind of, while remaining really bad, overperform how bad the projections are.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, that's probably fair. Appointment TV, Jeffrey.
I was Ezekiel Tovar, just because I'm actually curious to see how he does with, say, a full season as their everyday shortstop. They've been super aggressive with him, and he's passed every test so far. They moved him straight to Double A at the beginning of last year when he had a fairly short run in High A and didn't hit a ton. Was great there. They called him up to the major. He got injured right before Futures. It was like a groin or hamstring or something. He got back for like a week, and they didn't send him on a rehab assignment. He spent a week in AAA, and they called him up for the last bit of the season. So, and the Rockies. And now they're putting him right in the everyday shortstop role. So he's going to be tested. He had some chase issues even in AA. You know, he's 21. Solid enough spring as far as it goes. 286, 352, 429. Only 10 strikeouts and 54 plate appearances. So we'll see. But he's a fun player too, because he does a little bit of everything.
Yes.
He's got sneaky pop. He's a good defender. just again, in a rather, I guess, interesting but not necessarily watchable Rockies lineup, I think he's very watchable.
Yeah, I think he might be the most interesting, like the biggest reason I'm tuning in to watch his team, which is unfair. Like, my guy is Chris Bryant.
I mean,
like the options here are kind of weird. I agree on Tovar. I didn't want to double up on him. I actually kind of think Chris Bryant's going to have a big year if he can stay healthy.
If he was Chris good Bryant last can year stay when healthy. Healthy. I know if Chris Bryant can stay healthy.
Sure, but even if it's like 120 games,
it's wild to me they didn't. Like, and they don't have outfielders, but just put him back at third base with Rodgers out.
Yeah,
to try to save his legs a little bit.
I agree entirely. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But look, Bryant can really hit. If he's not damaged goods, like I will absolutely enjoy watching him hit there. Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything else to say. I agree with you on Tovar. Tovar is the most interesting kind of guy on this roster. You probably haven't heard of him. There's not a lot of great options here.
No, they always have kind of guy. You could go with Elhurst Montero, I guess.
They you could go with Montero. I'm not sure he's good. Like, I don't know.
I'm not sure. Like, he's one of those guys, like, he's not really a third baseman. He shouldn't really face righties. Yeah.
I wrote...
He has some skills.
R.I.P. Sean Bouchard.
Yeah.
I thought Bouchard was kind of interesting.
He was,
He's hurt. I think he's out for most of the year
at
this point, if not the full year. So that was kind of a bummer for me. He's kind of an older guy who produced. I watched him at the end of the year last year. He crushed the Dodgers for a while. He was hitting. I was interested in seeing what Bouchard was going to bring to the table. But he will bring himself to the operating table. It's basically what we're getting from this year. You went with, I'm going to tell you right now, you wrote in the doc Brain.
I know. It's Brian Servin. I'm not entirely sure why he's not their starting catcher over Elias Diaz, who's defense is starting to slip. The one thing the Rockies, a couple of things the Rockies do really well organizationally, besides being incredibly confounding to the baseball media writ large, is they've done a fairly good job with IFA hitters over the last few years. You know, Ezekiel Tovar sort of being the first wave of that with Adel Amador, Warming Bernabell, and some interesting DSL guys from last year coming behind them.
Yankiel Fernandez.
But they're also really good at getting huge defensive jumps with their catchers. And Servin is one of these guys. He's a little bit older. He's a really good framer.
They got JW on catching.
Yeah, they do have JW.
Organization. One of the best. Probably,
if not the best in the
business. Best.
Yeah, probably. Servin, again,
he's already 28.
He is already 28.
Doesn't matter. He might be pretty good.
Good defender, has some pop. Like, again, nothing amazing here, like a two-win player behind the plate. I think that's I know Diaz probably is the better bat. He's the veteran, knows that pitching staff, but I would not be shocked if this is at least more of a timeshare, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Watchability ratings. We were a full grade apart
on
this one.
I like watching Rockies games. They're interesting. Offenses, there's always offense. They're always weird. Just like weird things happen. At one point at the end of last season, I think they started 9 like 2019 to 2022 yard goats in the starting lineup. It was like Alan Trejo and Sean Bouchard and Jonathan Daza. So it's always interesting to keep tabs on those guys that I saw for 50, 60 games a season over the years.
Yeah, so I
didn't necessarily write them as major leaguers at the time either. But
when we take organizational development trends into effect, should we take into the account that the org promotes guys who might not be major leaguers into major league positions with regularity? We didn't really talk about the rotation.
No, we didn't.
We mentioned Germán Marquez.
Yeah.
Kyle Freeland is still here.
Yes. I mean, for the foreseeable future, he signed, a five-year extension before last season?
I think that's right. But so did Antonio Sensatella.
He's hurt.
He's not in the rotation currently. I know.
Yeah.
Jose Urania is listed in the third starter spot on roster resource. And that might just be some like ordering. They're splitting up Freeland and Gomber or whatever. They're going right, left.
Somebody was a week behind at spring training or something.
Whatever.
I was not following
Rocky's spring training closely. But like, regardless, Jose Urania is the third pitcher on this chart. I mean, like, Austin Gomber is not... Ryan Feltner, you made fun of two of these guys in your Dodgers blurb.
Yeah.
Or your drink... when you need a drink in the Dodgers. I mean, like,
Ryan Feltner, but... He's going to take some starts for them, is what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really have... Like, I think Rollison's still hurt. I mean, he's just been hurt, basically, for, like, the last three years at this point.
He is on the IL.
Yeah.
Here's what I will tell you. I think this bullpen is interesting. I'm not gonna say it's good. Like, Brad Hand is here, and that's just a horrible fit for this team.
Yeah.
But like, Justin Lawrence is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I think Pierce Johnson's actually pretty good, if a horrible fit. They have, because he's a curveball heavy guy in course. Daniel Bard, Daniel Bard might have, I don't know, he probably doesn't have the yips again, but he looks really bad.
He did.
For Team USA. I could not believe he had a 1.79 ERA.
Yeah, really good.
Last year. I knew he was good, and I thought it was like a 2.4.
Yeah.
You know, 1.79 ERA last year. He was freaking incredible.
Yeah. And they have guys I like in that I'm sure you'll see at some point this year and saw a little bit last year.
There's some guys who are hurt too. Lucas, they'll be out for the year. So, it doesn't matter. But, like, Tyler Kinley and Lucas Gilbreth were, like, interesting bullpen arms.
I like Jake Bird and Gavin Hollowell a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Riley Pint is, like, on the four. I saw a lot of Riley Pint last year.
Sure.
But here's the real problem. I don't know. Their AAA rotation. Peter Lambert, who I like but has been hurt and is a terrible fit for that ballpark. Noah Davis, who probably shouldn't still be starting. Logan Allen I, who is a terrible fit for that ballpark. Josh Rogers, terrible fit for that ballpark. TJ Zoik, terrible fit. Well, I guess he's a sinker baller, so that's probably okay. But, like, that's why Ryan Feltner is in this rotation right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. I went with a 40, like I said. This team... I get what you're saying. I see where you're coming from, but I don't know, man. Like, Ty Block is in this rotation. The bullpen probably might see some rotation time. Connor Siebold. These are not good fits for this park. Like, it could just be again, like, Mike Moustakas is here. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. When you need a drink, Griffey.
The use of supplemental oxygen for high-altitude climbs is controversial. Once Reinhold Messner proved you could top all 14 8,000-kilometer peaks without it, it became the standard for a certain kind of mountaineer. Coors Field is a mere 5,000 feet above sea level. But don't be a hero. Have that margarita on the party deck.
All right, Jeffrey, I do want to say one thing before we go, which is that it's here, it happened. We got our first "The Phillies Cannot Be Remotely Normal and Blessed"
did we?
For it of the year. It's late. It's March 27th.
Yeah.
It's not even really the Phillies' fault in this case. I sent you the video.
Okay.
Home plate umpire Randy Rosenberg ejects JT Realmuto for this, and is what the tweet is from Tim and Friends. This is Realmuto, without looking, puts his glove back behind him, like, to wait for the ball. And right as Rosenberg goes to toss the ball into the glove, he moves the glove. I think he was like, it must be in there.
Yeah.
Time to go. He wasn't even thinking. It's just like automatic muscle memory, whatever. And so Rosenberg just threw the ball on the ground because he moves his glove and immediately ejects JT Realmuto, who is absolutely stunned. Absolutely stunned. He does not understand what is happening.
Yeah.
And then he left the field doing, like, the Jersey Shore fist pump rotation up in the air. The freeze frame that Phillies reporter Matt Gelb had makes it look like he's doing the "Don't You Forget About Me" and Breakfast Club.
I feel like if you're gonna do that, and you got to lean into it and like take your shirt off as you're leaving too. So you don't have your
pull a muscleman from the I'm glad it's here. The Phillies are gonna be, who knows? They'll probably be pretty good, but they're definitely gonna be weird.
As we enter the 2023 season, I do want to leave you with this quote from Billy Epler on the diversity of the Mets bench. You don't want to be holding a 3-run lead and then look down your bench and everybody is just a big hairy guy that hits the ball in the seats, right?
Wrong. That's exactly what I want. That is exactly what I want. All right. Thank you, Jeffrey, for co-hosting this episode of Five and Dive with me. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode brought to you by the Baseball Prospectus Podcast Network. You can get in touch with the show at fiveanddive@baseballprospectus.com. We are wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Baseball Prospectus Podcast Network, and we'll be in that feed. I'm not sure on our schedule. We'll see if we do one before the season.
We should plug that we're doing a playback on Thursday for opening day. Probably.
Well, I wasn't sure if that was actually happening.
Yeah, it'll
happen. We'll do a playback on Thursday. One of the 1 p.m. games.
Yeah.
I think Jeffrey and I will do it. We're excited for the season to start. Maybe we'll do a Friday opening day reaction.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
We'll see. So look for that. Join us in the playback, and we'll see you later this week.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.